I hope everyone is having a glorious and wonderful Sunday, morning, evening, and afternoon, or whenever the time you listen to this show. If you aren't following me on Sight to the Blind, Instagram, and To Larry Johnson 7 on TikTok, then you aren't hip to me going after the solar calendar that a lot of Israelites are using March as the first month because it's springtime in the Northern Hemisphere. I talked about this last episode about the calendar and what we need to do to observe the right and proper calendar. I've seen brothers get on here and talk, not on here, but on TikTok, trying to convince people that, oh, because the Roman calendar was lunar-based and originally consisted of 10 months, with the year beginning in March, that we should be using the Roman calendar, which was reformed into the Julian calendar by Julius Caesar. And Julius Caesar fixed the length of a year to 365 days, beginning on the year of January 1st, rather than March. And then, of course, they use the spring equinox, which I told you is pagan. So I've seen that Hebrews are now worshiping in this calendar and using March 12th as now the first day of the month. And they're talking about Happy New Year. But if you go to anywhere in scripture, it doesn't say the Israelites celebrated any new year, nothing. If anything, they celebrated the first day, they celebrated the new moon of the first day, which is already talked about in Enoch 78, and nobody has been able to get around this. No one has been able to get around the fact that Enoch described what the new moon was, and that it is used, that the moon is used, the lunar calendar is used to implement when the day of the month begins. I don't know how difficult this is. And even I was led astray from following it the proper way and then got hooked on Become Set Apart's calendar and Nick Vanderland's calendar as if I couldn't figure this stuff out myself. And then I got more led astray and confused. And then now I had to fight my way back to the original understanding, which I had before I even looked at those two calendars. Because I was trying to figure out, well, I was trying to look for validity. And I didn't see the validity being talked about when it came to this calendar. And this is, I think, the most important lesson to learn when it comes to stuff like this, is that if you don't know and you're not readily ready to understand what is being taught or being said or how to go about understanding certain things that, you know, you may not have the true knowledge and understanding and knowing, don't rush it. If the Most High wants you to know something, he will let you know and he will build your confidence within what you should know. My thing is, I was going all over the place because I didn't have the confidence in myself to stand firm and to do the research myself. I was relying on others. This is why I answer people who say, why don't you just come up with a calendar and post it? No. You do it. You go through what I just said and you build your own calendar. I'm not going to make it easy for you. No one should make it easy for you. I'm giving you the definitions. I'm giving you the scriptures. You put it together. And then we can come together and say, all right, where are you at this point in time? Do I need to change it? Do I need to tweak it? And then you go from there. We end up, you know, falling into a stumbling block because we just relied on somebody who we thought knew the calendar, the laws, the statutes, commandments, and scripture better than we did. When all of us got the same Ruach, no one has a superior Ruach HaKodesh. We all have the same Ruach. All are supposed to be of one body. We have different abilities. We have different gifts, but we have the same Ruach. So what I know, you should be able to know also. And when I repent and feel sorry for leading others to two wrong calendars, those who are following that March solar calendar, you should do the same. I don't know why it's so hard for people in this generation to repent and apologize for posting false information, especially when new information the right information is being posted on a daily basis. You really have to be a stiff-necked Negro Hebrew to really keep continuing into a path that everybody's already cast down and broken down that stronghold. I don't understand it. I truly don't. I don't get how people can see the truth and keep staring at it, staring at it, staring at it, even when it's being broken down all the way to the bottom, and still be like, you know what? March 12th is the new year for Israelites. So I'm going to look at this calendar that they say the biblical new year and feast in 2025. And this page comes from some guy that's like Whole Something Ministries. I can't read it. It was Whole Something Ministries. He says the new year begins on March 12th, where, like I said before, there is no New Year's celebrations in scripture. There is, in Jubilees, the Most High telling Noah that you should observe the new moon of the first day, the new moon of the fourth month, the new moon of the seventh month, and the new moon of the 10th month. These are our days of remembrance. It don't say anything about New Year's. So already I know that this calendar is off, because the new moon is already defined in Enoch 78, which I read to you last episode, which is when the moon first receives its light. That is the first day of the new moon. March 12th, if you look at the moon, that moon was 97% full. Light isn't being received upon it. So I don't know why Israelites were going by this 1, 2, 3, 4th day he created the sun and moon. And then you start from there, 5, 6, 7, you go right into your Shabbats, which it makes no sense, because then your Shabbats are Friday and Saturday all the way through. And then sometimes, depending on how you're counting, you are having double Shabbats because of the feast days. That should not be also. I heard a sister on her page, because she teaches scripture, she was talking about, oh, prepare for the double Shabbats. It's nowhere in scripture that's talked about double Shabbats. They only doing that because their calendar is off and they're not using the moon. It's not just a lunar calendar only, but it's a solar and lunar. But the Most High has said in Enoch, he has told Enoch from the beginning of time, in the days of sinners, time will be shortened. I'm going to say this again. In the time of sinners, in the days of sinners, time will be shortened. Which means the moon will change its laws. It will not be seen in its proper period. Who's doing this? Who is speeding up time? I read this verse to you last episode. Who is speeding up time? Yah is speeding up time. So we are those who will be observing the fact that the moon is coming in 10 days too soon, because the times are being sped up, because it's the time of sinners. Their works and everything have to be fulfilled before they really get going. If he does not speed up the time of sinners, no flesh would be saved. We all would fall. Eventually, we all would fall. So going back to what I believe, like I said before, that Yerushalayim is in the southern hemisphere. Thank you to Sister Gina. She came to edify me with this verse out of 3 Ezra chapter 9 out of the Sefer. And by the way, shout out to the Sefer people who actually did upload a better version that took care of the search bar fiasco. And how the search bar was all over the place, and it didn't really give a lot of information when you use certain words or certain scriptures to search. And now they even implemented a tab or a section of the Sefer app where you can report bugs. So thank you to the Sefer people, and thank Eustace for actually doing the work and emailing and contacting them and telling them about this bug. And they were really fast with it too. It is literally just yesterday they fixed that issue. All right, 3 Ezra chapter 9, 5, I'll go 5 through 9. And in 3 days were all they of the tribe of Yehuda and Benjamin gathered together at Yerushalayim, the 20th day of the 9th month, 5 days before Hanukkah. And all the multitude sat trembling in the broad court of the temple because of the present foul weather. And all the multitude sat trembling. Now, if you're trembling, and it's referring to foul weather, what do you think? What type of temperatures you have to be in to be trembling? Cold, right? In Yochanan chapter 10, verse 22, what does it say about Hanukkah? The time, the season. It was winter. Okay, and when is Hanukkah again? The 9th month, the 25th day of the 9th month. So that's September to us. Is September winter here? No. Is it cold here in September, the 9th month? No. So there you go. Yerushalayim is in the southern hemisphere, like I've known for a time now because of David Rumsey's map collection. Yerushalayim is in the southern hemisphere, which means the calendar is upside down. Our winters is their spring and summer. Our summer is their fall and winter. So our calendar should reflect that instead of moving it based on a solar calendar near the spring equinox, doing a 7-day creation story over and over again. It does not say anywhere to count the first day of the first days of the year through the 7-day creation story. It does not say that. These camps teach it. I've seen other Hebrews fall to it. It does not say that anywhere in scripture. To use the 7-day creation story as a starting point to the calendar. It does say and does talk about the new moon calendar. It does say when to readily identify when the new moon or the first day of the month is coming upon us is when light is received upon the moon. Then you can count 29, then you go to 30, then you go to 29, then you go to 30, then you go to 29, and that'll lead you to 354 days. Backing up what Enoch said in the time of sinners, how the moon would change its laws, how we would be observing the fact that the moon would be coming in 10 days too soon. And we won't be in the next verse over. It says, for this reason, they will go astray because they would change. They would change this to try to fix it into 364 because y'all would follow this Dead Sea Scroll, which is found in the northern hemisphere, not found in the southern hemisphere where the kingdom actually was. This is why it's important to know exactly where Yerushalayim and Yasharel is. You have to truly be a real stiff neck with your head in the ground like an ostrich and not pay attention to the truth when it comes to what you say is observing the feast days and giving glory to the Most High Yahuwah. That's on you. Truly, that's on you. We have given so much information and so much knowledge and wisdom about those feast days and about that calendar that now everybody should almost be on all, should be on one accord, but they're not. Everybody's going out for comfort. If 100 different Hebrews say this is the calendar, 100 different Hebrews are going to follow it. They're not doing the due diligence and lurk and searching for these scriptures themselves. Even in multiple translations of Psalms 81:3, it says, blow the shofar on the new moon And at the full moon, the day of our festival, or a day of our feast day. Now, Psalms 81:3 backs up the book of Numbers, which I said that in the beginning of the month, you blow the trumpet. That backs up that verse. So that's a second witness. And I said this in a post that I made for TikTok and Instagram. I said, are you Hebrews actually blowing the trumpet? Are you buying a silver trumpet to blow in the beginning of the months, which is your new moons? No, you are not, because you are in a solar calendar only. So you don't need to do 12 Shabbats that you're missing, 12 new moon festivals that you're missing, 12 ascending smoke offerings that you are missing. You are missing those. You are missing those offerings. You're missing those ascending smoke offerings. And it even talks about this in Malachi 3, when we went astray, verse 7 through 10. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not guarded them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says Yahuwah Sabaoth. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Elohim? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. I'm going to say this again. Will a man rob Elohim? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. We're not talking about money. We're not talking about mammon. We're not talking about Caesar's money, coins. We're not talking about debt fiat currency. We are talking about a different type of tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says Yahuwah Sabaoth, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I read the scripture. I said, you ain't got to worry about me when it comes to tithes and offerings. You ain't got to worry about me. Because the respect flows upwards, the blessings come down. The respect goes up, the blessings come down. The ascending small offerings go up, the blessings come down. Every time I mention offerings and ascending small offerings, people confuse this with, oh no, sacrifices, you know, it's better to be obedient than to sacrifice this and sacrifice that. And they're taking that from the book of Samuel, when Saul disobeyed the Most High in destroying all of the Amalekites, instead tried to use their property as an offering to the Most High. That's when he said, is it better to be obedient than to sacrifice? And people are taking that and meaning and thinking that means tithes and offerings. That's completely two different things, truly. I'm telling you what this man loves and likes. If you love Yahuwah, if you love your Heavenly Father, you do what he likes. Even when y'all in relationships, do you not love and do the things that your partner likes? If your partner likes kisses on the cheek, do you not do them? If your partner likes vacations, do you not book a trip and go there? Do you not do the work to satisfy your partner? How much more do we need to do to satisfy the Most High, who has created us, created a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on our tables, and we can't get on our knees and offer tithes and offerings? Where does that stiff neck come from? Now ask yourself, where does that stiff neck come from? That you do more for flesh than you do more for the Ruach. We all love our partners, but can they uproot us and put us in a bigger house? Can they provide a hedge and a protection over all of the wicked ones? So how hard it is to serve a man that could do all these things? Oh, because it's in the Old Testament? Who trapped you into this old and new? Old, new versus old and old versus new. Who trapped you into that? Who clarified in any of the books of the Bible that we should listen to the New Testament, not the Old Testament? Where does that brainwashing come from? It definitely didn't come from Scripture. They didn't even relate to the books as new or old. It was just see for this and see for that. It's written in the book of this. It's written in the book of that. Let's read Jubilees 21. And in the sixth year of the seventh week of this Jubilee, Abraham called Yitzchak his son and commanded him, saying, I am become old and know not the day of my death, and am full of my days. And behold, I am 175 years old, and throughout all the days of my life, I have remembered Yahuwah and sought with all my heart to do his will and to walk uprightly in all his ways. My soul has hated idols, given my heart and ruach that I might observe to do the will of him who created me. Now there's a sudden rise of Christian trap music. A rise of Christian trap music, and they think this is glorifying the Heavenly Father. It's glorifying themselves in stupidity and ignorance. If you go to Luke, or if you remember Luke, Luke 13, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught in our streets. And you have we have taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all the prophets in the kingdom of Elohim, and yourselves thrust out. What did all these three men do? Let's continue to read Jubilees 21. He said, his soul has hated idols, given my heart and ruach that I might observe to do the will of him who created me. For he is the living Elohim, and he is holy and faithful, and he is righteous beyond all. And there is with him no accepting of men's persons and no accepting of gifts. For Elohim is righteous and executes judgment on all those who transgress his commandments and despise his covenant. And do you, my son, observe his commandments and his ordinances and his judgments, and walk not after the abominations, after graven images and after the molten images, and eat no blood at all of all the animals or cattle or any bird which flies in the heaven. And if you do slay a victim as an acceptable peace offering, slay ye it and pour out its blood upon the altar, and all the fat of the offering offer on the altar with fine flour and the oblation mingled with oil with this drink offering. Offer them all together on the altar of the ascending smoke offering. It is a sweet savor before Yahuwah. Now, if you search in the Sefer, sweet savor, you'll see how many times these combination of words are mentioned for ascending smoke offering. So obviously the Most High smells a particular type of meat, a particular type of wood mingled with fine flour, mingled with wine. And this particular type of offering style is mentioned in the book of Numbers, which I have talked about in the previous episode. These are the ordinances that got these folks in heaven, because it's what the Most High has commanded Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, and the children after that, for within their generations forever. That's what it says. It didn't say up to the New Testament. It didn't say up to when Yahushua was crucified. It said forever. And I'm skip down to verse 10. It says, and eat its meat on that day, and on the second day, let not the sun on the second day go down upon it until it is eaten. And let nothing be left over for the third day, for it is not acceptable, for it is not approved, and let it no longer be eaten, which means no more eating leftovers after the second day. Finish it. Now, that makes me think of all the years when we were trapped in this system. We were under Edom rule. That when we participated and observed Thanksgiving, did we not kill the turkey And did we not eat that turkey for the whole week? Did we not eat Thanksgiving dinners for the entire week? It's leftovers for the entire week. Did we not do that as children, as teenagers, and as young adults? For thus I have, no, it says, and all who eat thereof will bring sin upon themselves. For thus I have found it written in the sefer of my forefathers, and in the words of Enoch, and in the words of Noah, not to eat leftovers past the second day. We've been eating Thanksgiving dinners after giving thanks to the Most High, well, giving thanks to the Lord, giving thanks to God, giving thanks to Jesus, then proceed to eat leftovers from this feast day for the entire week, and thinking we are going to be blessed and showing thanks for the Most High for participating in this abomination. These same abominations that Abraham told Yitzchak not to even involve himself with. You think they just didn't do Thanksgivings in other cultures and nations, celebrating victories? That's basically what Thanksgiving is. It's celebrating a victory of decimating another nation, another race. You think they didn't do this in Babylon and do it in Greece or Rome? Yes, they did this. And they even did it to their gods. So it's no different when we do it here. But we truly are ignorant to our own ways until we actually understand through scripture that we've been doing it the wrong way. It should almost make us cringe and throw up in our mouth a little bit to know all of the things that we thought that the Most High loved and liked and tolerated based on man's garbage. You should just think about all the Thanksgiving dinners and Thanksgiving prayers. Yeah, your pastor came over to your house and prayed over the food, or your parents prayed over the food, or even you prayed over the food, and thinking that the Most High God heard your prayer, and then you participated in an abomination. And on all your oblations, you shall strew salt, and let not the salt of the covenant be lacking in all your oblations before Yahuwah. And as regards the wood of the sacrifices, beware lest you bring other wood for the altar in addition to these. So what he's saying is, I'm going to tell you what woods are acceptable for your ascending smoke offerings. It's cypress, bay, almond, fir, pine, cedar, savin, fig, olive, myrrh, laurel, and espalathus. Espalathus. And of these kinds of wood, lay upon the altar under the sacrifice, such as have been tested as to its appearance. Do not lay thereon any split or dark wood, but hard and clean, without fault, a sound and new growth. And do not lay thereon old wood, for its fragrance is gone, for there is no longer fragrance in it as before. Beside these kinds of wood, there is no other that you shall place on the altar, for the fragrance is dispersed, and the smell of its fragrance goes not up to heaven. So obviously, I'm going to listen to the man who's obviously done this multiple times to know exactly what wood and what smell the Most High loves to smell, and what will travel all the way up to heaven. I remember one time, by trial and error, I cut down a palm tree, was going to use a palm tree, and it would not light on fire. I was getting frustrated. I was like, why is this not lighting? I said, it is wood. And I literally had like an electrical fire when I first moved into this place, into my home. And it caught the palm tree on fire because the wires were close to it. I was like, well, I know it can burn because obviously I've seen it where the palm tree caught on fire. But I kept trying to light this palm where I usually do my ascending smoke offering, and it wouldn't even light. And then the smell was bad. So I removed the wood, went out and bought a backup from Home Depot, and then the offering was accepted, or then it burned. But then I was like, okay, I need to start trying new woods. And then in the bathroom, we have a small cedar stick, you know, for the smell after you do number two. And I was like, man, it smells pretty good. I said, I asked my Ishai, what kind of wood is this? She's like, oh, it's cedar. So then I looked up cedar, and they do sell cedar firewood. They sell like a starter kit, which is fine by me. So it just got here yesterday. So I'm not gonna start using cedar on my ascending smoke offerings just to see if the smell's a little different. So that's what I'm doing. Remember I kept telling you guys, like, over time, once you start showing you have a heart to do the ascending smoke offerings, peace offerings, goodwill offerings, heave offerings, and wave offerings, then he will direct you, your paths, privately to where you need to do it perfect. I'm only telling you guys, but if you didn't hear anything from me, you would just know I've been doing it perfect the whole entire time. But this is the part where I told you that this is that's what comes along with the walk. This what goes along with this process. It's not to make you shamed or feel bad. It's really to humble you and to give you joy that you have now found the answer to what you've been looking for. You should be looking for the truth, looking to do it right. So when you see it, you'd be like, oh, okay, true, cool. I'll just change what I've been doing. I don't see how hard that is. I really wish I would get out of this stiff neckness and be like, oh, you know, I'll wait till y'all tell me. I'm not going to change. I'll wait till y'all tells me. Observe this commandment and do it, my son, that you may be upright in all your deeds. And at all times be clean in your body and wash yourself with water before you approach to offer on the altar. And wash your hands and your feet before you draw near to the altar. And when you are done sacrificing, wash again your hands and your feet. Let no blood appear upon you, nor upon your clothes. Be on your guard, my son, against blood. Be on your guard exceedingly. Cover it with dust. And do not eat any blood, for it is the soul. Eat no blood whatsoever. And take no gifts for the blood of man, lest it be shed with impunity without judgment. For it is the blood that is shed that causes the earth to sin. And the earth cannot be cleansed from the blood of man, save by the blood of him who shed it. And take no present or gift for the blood of man, blood for blood, that you may be accepted before Yahuwah El Elyon. For he is the defense of the good, and you may be preserved from all evil, and that he may save you from every kind of death. I see, my son, that all the works of the children of men are sin and wickedness, and all their deeds are uncleanness and an abomination and a pollution, and there is no righteousness in them. Beware, lest you should walk in their ways and tread in their paths and sin a sin unto death before El Elyon, else he will hide his face from you and give you back into the hands of your transgression and root you out of the land and your seed likewise from under heaven, and your name and your seed shall perish from the whole earth. This is why I do not understand why brothers get so up in arms about those curses in Deuteronomy and about white folk did this and white folk did that. I simply laugh and go to sleep with a smile on my face, because those who are going to be trapped are going to be trapped by this verse alone. This verse alone, because they thinking they're doing it right. People don't understand if they are descendants to the rod that the Most High has brought up to carry his children off into a land which they know not, and use this rod, use these people as a rod. And the people, after this curse has been over, and if these people still following the traditions and cultures of the rod that was used to beat us with, they are going to be trapped. They are going to be in this curse. They are going to be rooted out. This is scripture. This ain't got nothing to do with race. This is scripture. If we had to forgive our forefathers, why can't you Gentiles, you Europeans, you white folk, also forgive your ancestors for what they done, even if they've been used as a rod against the children of Yasharel? Just forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then forgive yourself. Then move on and separate yourself from your old bloodline. If not, this exactly is what's going to happen to you. Beware lest you should walk in their ways and tread in their paths. Treading in their paths is exactly what most of you Negroes do. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day. Any other type of pagan day that they get you to represent and worship you and exalt yourself. And for in Christianity, the Ku Klux Klan was Christians. If you're a European, if you're a white folk, and you're still a Christian, that these curses get tied on to you. You think the Most High is playing around with his word? I read it again. Beware lest you should walk in their ways and tread in their paths and sin a sin unto death before El Elyon. Else he will hide his face from you and give you back into the hands of your transgression and root you out of the land and your seed. Likewise, from under heaven, and your name and your seed shall perish from the whole earth. Some of you got children. You don't think of your children or the futures of your children and your futures of your children's children? Or you think that because your ancestors, your forefathers got away with Christianity, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Halloween, you think they were pardoned because of this ignorance? But guess what? That sin, that ignorance is being added onto your generations and your seed if you're not teaching your children the proper way. If you yourself are not walking in the proper way. And some say, well, he will be forgiven. Most High is forgiven. He's long-suffering. He'll forgive me. Jesus said he'll forgive me. He came to save us. Y'all don't know the word of the word of the Father like most do then. In your ignorance. And this is the whole point of religion, is to water down judgment, is to water down the commandments, is to water down the ordinances and statutes. Because all you have to do is go to the book of Samuel and the book of Chronicles, which are used as a witness to each other of Uzzah. And we know the story of Uzzah. When they were carrying the ark, the ox stumbled and Uzzah put his hand to the ark to stabilize it. And the Most High said, no one can touch that ark but the Levites. And Uzzah was not a Levite. Even if Uzzah had the heart in him to say, you know what? I don't want the Most High's covenant, his tabernacle, his laws, his statutes to ever fall to the ground. I'm going to stabilize it because the ox stumbled. He still was struck down. I'll go to it in scripture. 2 Samuel 6, 5 through 9. And David and all the house of Yasharel played before Yahuwah in all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on shofars, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of Elohim and took hold of it, for the ox shook in it. And the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against Uzzah, and Elohim smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of Elohim. And David was displeased because Yahuwah had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Peretz Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of Yahuwah that day and said, how shall the ark of Yahuwah come to me? David himself shook. The man after Yah's own heart, who was with him against Goliath, was shook when Uzzah was smote or smitten. So the Most High is true to his word. He don't care what situation. He, like it says before, he is no respecter of persons. He don't care what situation it was. He said, I don't want no one to touch that ark but Levites. So the Most High is not slack in his word when it goes out and when people are acknowledged or should be acknowledging his word. Now, the silver lining to that is David understood the power of the Most High that he was not playing, that he understood his word. So when David transgressed, he knew exactly what Yah was going to do to him. When he numbered the nation of Yasharel against Satan, and when he schemed for Bathsheba, he was so afraid of the Most High, he tried to scheme his way around it. And this is where we have Psalms of him complaining, pouring his soul out, his heart out. We would not have Psalms if David didn't truly understand the power and fear of the Most High that day. And the other side of that is the covenant, the ark actually rested it in a Gentile's house for a time. It went to Obed-Edom, who was a Gathite, a Gentile, a stranger, sojourning among the Israelites. As I mentioned in the episode before. So this Gathite, Obed-Edom, was also paying attention to the law, statutes, commandments, even if it was not of his nation and not of his culture. He decided that he wanted to follow the nation of Yasharel wherever they went. So the ark rested, which I think is kind of shady, that they didn't want any of the other Israelites to die. So they put the ark in somebody, a Gentile's house, and think, well, if he's going to kill somebody else, let's put it in somebody else's house that ain't one of us. So when it was in Obed-Edom's house, he was being blessed exceedingly for holding the Ark of the Covenant. And him himself didn't even touch it, but it just rested in his house. So they said that because Obed-Edom was being blessed, they took the Ark out of his house and then they took it to its final resting place. But how would they know that it was time to take the ark out of Obed-Edom's house unless they actually saw him being blessed by the Most High? Man, it could have been in crops. It could have been land. It could have been money. It could have been, you know, an addition to his house. We don't know. But we know that the Israelites saw things through their eyes first and not through their ruach. So they must have seen Obed-Edom, a Gentile, being blessed exceedingly to the point they're like, all right, we could take this about it. He ain't killing nobody else. If he ain't killed this man and is blessing him, then we can take this out of the house. And then in that chapter, this is where we go to David dancing in his linen ephod and Saul's daughter being disgusted with him because he's, you know, dancing for joy for the Most High. And of course, man has taken that story and made it all type of foolishness with it. Like if you remember the old 1980 movie Footloose, the whole point of the movie was they brought up scripture and how David danced for the Most High. And they said, this is the reason why we should have this dance in this dry ass community because David danced, and the guy that was in charge of the dance committee or in charge of the church, he was against all types of dancing, said it was about the devil and wickedness. And that's when Kevin Bacon's character used that scripture to implement a dance for that school. But then I see other people on TikTok making the same stupid skit. Oh, this is how David danced for the Most High. And they turn it into a meme and turn it into jokes and think this is a form of worshiping and exalting the Most High through satire and sarcasm. Which again goes back to the verse of them themselves being thrust out because they are blinded by the wicked one of this world and thinking you have to do the very soft and lightest and ignorant thing you can do and thinking that is worshiping the Most High, which is not. But the Most High was true to his word. Another one that I've been thinking about is when in Mattityahu, when Yahusha, after 6 days, went up into a high mountain. Again, this is also a scripture exposing that there are no high mountains in Israel. That the highest mountain, I think, is like, what, 1,000 to, not even 1,000, maybe 2,000 feet. That's not a high mountain. Even Mount Zion is a foothill or a hill. Anywhere in that desert, around that land, there is no high mountains that are could be categorized as exceedingly high or even high. They're very mid in that region. But it says, after 6 days, Yahusha went up into a high mountain and was transfigured. And then the prophets Eliyahu and Moshe appeared. Now, you would have to think, if the Most High told Moshe that he would never set foot in Yasharel, don't you think that even in their transfigured state, that maybe Yahusha traveled 6 days to go outside of Yasharel, to go outside of Jerusalem in order to meet up in this high mountain, Eliyahu and Moshe? So if the Most High is true to his word, you would have to assume that even in a transfigured state, Moshe wouldn't even allow to set foot in the nation of Yisrael or Yerushalayim because of his disobedience. And this carried on until after he was gone. That when he came back, that high mountain, I'm guaranteeing you, that high mountain was not around Yisrael. That's how true to the word the Most High is. So when I am on the other side of this, and not on the side of judgment, but on the side of offerings, ascending smoke offerings, and things that are pleasant to him, I'm going to make sure I'm going to be blessed exceedingly. I'm trying to have my roof, my home open up, and for blessings to pour down so I don't have any room to store it. I know that is a true thing. I know that is a true word. Why aren't we chasing that part of scripture? Why are we looking at worshiping the Most High the way that he wants as something that's grievous or as something that's old or something that's already past been? Why are we looking at that rather than looking at it on the other side of look at the blessings that could come for this because he is true to his word. Look at the blessings that came to Obed-Edom because he did not touch the ark and allowed it to rest in its home. Why can't we look at the positive side of that? Why do we look at the pessimistic side of trying to do these ascending off smoke offerings? Why do we look at it as, this is such an old way to do things. He don't care about this. And I'm telling you that he does. I'm telling you that he's blessing people for it. I'm telling you that he's true to his word. The Most High don't have nothing to do with any meat offering or anything down here. He doesn't eat anything that we have down here. Earth is his footstool, but yet he is blessing and showing that he's willing to bless his footstool in order for us to step on this footstool to go up to where he is. I'm telling you, it's a stepping stone to go to where he is. I don't know if they're doing ascending smoke offerings or incense offerings in heaven. I don't know. I'm not up there. But I'm telling you, the groundwork for to getting up there to find out starts down here. So don't look at ascending smoke offerings or drink offerings as something that is old school and it's ancient and it's not looked upon favorably by all other Israelites, all other Hebrews who are not talking about this information. Don't look at it that way because obviously they don't want to do it because of the hardness and the stiff-neckedness of their own heart. I'm showing you that the Most High told us to do these things forever. Now, I know for myself, the next thing would be to actually dress and, you know, to adorn the outfits like an Israelite. Like, I still struggle with that, like, as far as wearing fringes, because I know those fringes that those camps are wearing are Babylonian. So I have not yet seen a quality garment for me to adorn myself in to what, I mean, I would love to. I'm waiting for the Most High. Again, it goes with the process. I'm waiting for the Most High to set up somebody who's knowledgeable in fashion and fabric to actually do it the right way so I can actually start dressing and walking in public as an Israelite. I can't wait for that day. A lot of us are fashion-minded, and we're not going to just put on anything just to make it fit and make it work. So I'd rather wait to that day to wear a proper garment that shows the glory and ordinances of the Most High. I don't want to get it wrong because I almost got it wrong because I've ordered a shirt that had those Babylonian fringes like the camels. Like I thought that was the right way until I saw information given to me by Brother Ryan Wilson about what the border or what the hem of the border is supposed to truly look like. So until I see a quality garment that way, I'm not dressing as an Israelite yet. But I want to. And even the tzitzits that they sell on Etsy, those I'm trying to find the right ones, the right size and all that to make it look good and all that. Because I care, obviously, about how I look in public. But I can't wait till I get all those things together. But that takes time. That goes with the process. But in the meantime, offerings. In the meantime, showing that you love the Most High by keeping his ordinances and his statutes is important. Why not want to be blessed? If this man says he loved the smell, the ascending smoke offerings with the meat and a particular type of wood, why not cater to that? Why not? Why not cater to that or cater to him and then have your table being blessed in the presence of your enemies? Why not? Don't you want to feel like Obey Edom? Don't you want to look people look at your house like, oh, that man is exceedingly blessed, and find out why you're exceedingly blessed? That's how you pull others to the light. It's not always by posts, memes, and talking of scripture. Sometimes it's just people need to observe you being blessed. And I know it's hard to do because we all are detached from each other, but people around you, people who are familiar with you, when they notice that you are walking completely different, they will see the positive change in you. They will see the light. Whether they want to see it or not, they will feel it. When you walk into the room, people will feel a vibration or energy towards you because you're walking differently. And then when they see you starting getting things, they'll be like, damn, he didn't have the money for this. How did he get that? He didn't have time to go buy this. How did he get this? Damn, he's moving again? He got a new car? He got a new house? How is this possible? They will know because your answer for everything is the Most Highest came through for me. They will know because you have invited them over to your house to see the ascending smoke offering during the time of a feast day. Because in certain news, those like the Feast of Sukkot, that's for 7 days that you have to burn something by fire. So if you, when you invite your family members over, you invite friends over for these feast days, they will be eventually seeing you observing the ascending smoke offering. And they will put two and two together. They ain't dumb. They're not that dumb. When people look at you being blessed, they pay attention extra hard because they want to know where you get it from. They want to know what has changed in you that's allowing you to be provided with such blessings. Trust me, they may not be saying nothing. Like, we always make this joke about those who are paying attention to our social media, not liking, not posting anything, just watching. Trust me, they trying to see what it is that's making you successful. And eventually, that mustard seed that is within them, it will start to grow. They cannot deny it forever. Because that envy will be turned into righteousness. They may envy you for not understanding why you are being blessed. But when they start finally figuring it out, put two and two together, then that mustard seed that's been buried deep in their soil, it will eventually sprout. Then they will finally get it when they get a little taste of the blessings. And this is what the Father wants for us. They won't know in their due season when the Most High rains down and fertilizes that mustard seed that they will again begin to grow. The Most High has planted us like seeds upon this entire earth. We all have our due season. We all have our time where we are supposed to sprout out of our soil. But he also uses those who are knowledgeable in his word to bring forth such seed out of the soil. That's why I mentioned the book of Acts 2 in the very bottom of it. It talks about how the Most High has called certain people to the temple in order for them to observe the righteousness of his elect. It's no different here. The Most High is not raising up prophets and people who can speak in tongues and all that. He's just simply giving you children who are all relatable to each other, giving us seeds that all look alike in all different forms and different cultures, races, and creeds. It's okay. I'm going to raise up examples. There's an example for everybody. There's a woman who knows the truth that works at a grocery store that another woman that works in the grocery store can relate to. Oh, here's a football player. Somebody has been in a league. There are other football players who are now open their eyes to the truth and following the truth because they can relate to a football player that's not in the league anymore. Oh, somebody used to smoke weed and be in jail. Oh, I'm going to raise up more seeds and relate to the man who has found me and found the truth and found my ordinances and statutes and commandments who also used to smoke weed and be in jail. This is the beauty of the word. This is the beauty of our situation. This is what making righteousness bloom and blossom. This is why the wicked one hates and cannot stand and tries to shadow ban everything that is the truth. This is how the truth expands and breaches out, Because those who find the truth, those who find his ordinances, his statutes, his commandments, his love, we all can relate to some form of a storyline or a narrative that we have been through in our lives that makes us relatable to other people. This is why he has to decapitate us in the book of Revelation. This is why he has to turn all his attention to the remnant, to those who keep the commandments, because we are disrupting. We are like bugs in this system. We're like an error. We're like a virus, a computer virus in this system. If you do not take care of the virus at its core, it will spread. And this is why they don't like us talking about the truth on their platforms. This is why they shadow ban us, because the truth is addicting. And because Satan has his idols become detached from reality. His celebrities become detached from reality. That is why they watch us so hard. They need to stay relative. And they can't stay relative to the truth, because obviously we are supposed to expose their lies. So they can never walk in truth. They have to walk in a lie, and they have to water down the truth in order to make it look like a lie. But even that doesn't work after a while. Like Luke mentioned, look, you look at all the Beyoncés, the Jay-Z's, the Kanye's, all of them after a time become detached from a reality we no longer want to be a part of. And they don't know how to reel them in to be relative. So they make them a sideshow. They make them an act. They make them a clown to laugh at so you can pay attention to it. But you'll never follow it. None of us is going to have our woman butt naked in the streets. None of us are. But they want us to be normalized with nakedness, because that's about as far as they can go with it. All those other celebrities that people follow and admire and worship, we can't even relate to them even when they're trying to be relatable. We don't act the way they act. We don't talk the way they talk. We don't sing the way they sing. We don't teach the way they teach. After a while, you start understanding that it's complete utter nonsense that comes out of their mouths, especially when they're trying to push this New Age theory, this God is love theory, that we should all love each other theory. It got so many holes in it, it doesn't make sense. How can people teach love and acceptance, and then on the flip side, want to kill children, want to unalive babies, want to sacrifice children and sacrifice each other? It don't add up. The more you go through their system and more go through their laws, their bylaws, it don't add up to anything, not anything worth following. They can give you people who used to be drug addicts or people who used to be alcoholics and found success, but you know where that success leads. It leads them to propagate more Satanism. So how can they be on the right track? It'll have you going around and around and around in circles. So this is why they keep trying to bring up different images and relatable characters for us to relate to follow. This is why they pay attention to us. They are not the trendsetters anymore, because they're so filled up with darkness and demons, they have no idea what's trending. They don't have no idea how to be creative anymore, because somebody else is now telling them, this is what I want the people to believe. This is what I want them to follow. And we being people who are awakened, even though if you're slightly asleep, you still see something's not right. You'd be like, why are they all doing the same thing? If they're trying to make us believe in their trend setting, why are they doing, why are people who are in different industries doing the same symbolism? Why is somebody in the government doing the same symbolism that somebody is doing in the sports world? And why is somebody in the sports world doing the same thing they're doing in the Hollywood industry? It doesn't make sense. I thought these people were all individuals. I thought they're supposed to be pushing individualism and creativity. Why are they all doing the same thing? Why do they all have the same master? People are starting to wake up from this, wake up from this spell. So when they see this, they're like, oh, they're waking up from this spell. Let's go to TikTok. Let's go to, what are they talking about? For a time, it was Fleek. Then they ran with the word Fleek. Then it was Demure. Then they ran with Demure. So they paying attention to us because we are the real creators. They have to pay attention to us to stay relevant. If we having decent conversations about scripture, They will raise up their people to have decent conversations about scripture. If we're having a platform where a bunch of nobodies gathering around talking about relationship issues and relationship values and one to another, they will also bring up their celebrities to start having these same conversations, except they're not talking about how they're pinned with each other for a sacrifice or for a ritual and make them have relationships. And then they bring out, oh, yeah, you know, when I was, you know, the Nick Cannon show and therapist, a lesbian therapist who's tied to a Greek organization. So they have to do this to convince you that you should follow them and not follow your own brothers and sisters who are all waking up out of this system. They're actually trying to fix things with each other. Even if they're not even paying attention to scripture, they're still trying to fix and breach. They're trying to fix the breach between ourselves. And instead of letting that ride, they want to water it down. They want to manage it. They want to take it and steal it and take it and make it into their own, where we can make it, where we make it about their foolishness, their rituals, and their sacrifices. It's what I'm saying. So the reason why I talk about these offerings and these sending of smoke offerings, these are just one of the many ways that we can worship the Father that is making following him and loving him contagious, because he is the keeper of the blessings. He is what pours out of heaven. He's done this with manna. He has done this when the children didn't have nothing in the desert or in the wilderness. He did this when they were starving. He did this when they were in need. So how much more will he be able to do it for you when you follow his ordinances and his statutes and his commandments? I'll see you Wednesday.